Oh, Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask you to be in our hearts and our minds by your power of your holy word, that we may receive your gifts with thanksgiving, that we may use them well, that we may show our love through the things that you have given us, the possessions that you have given us, that we may show your love to our family, friends, and communities through the use of everything you give us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would like, you can follow a little bit lengthier outline in the bulletin insert. And the way you'll see it, see there's three parts, and each part has three letters, nine things. Well, I'm going to give you one word for each letter, for each part, one word. And if you're filling these out, if you'd like to, under number one, Jesus' miracle shows his A, concern, B, knowledge, C, power. A, concern, B, knowledge, C, power. The Old Testament reading about God giving bread in the wilderness miraculously and quail at night, the manna, is closely related and paralleled to Jesus' miracle of the 5,000 men plus women and children, feeding them. In both ways, God was taking care of his people. A, concern. Jesus was concerned about his people's bodily welfare. These 5,000 men, plus women and children, were following him, listening to his teaching. As these people came and listened to Jesus' teaching, they wanted to be in the kingdom of God. They were listening to the Messiah, the teachings from this great prophet, the Son of God. And they were concerned about their eternal life. They wanted to learn more, see what Jesus was doing, see the miracles he's doing. And Jesus was concerned that they would have food to eat. It was a long day. They were far away from any amount of food like they would need. He knew their situation, B, their knowledge. He is knowledge. He knew their situation better than they. They followed him there. Apparently, they followed them there without much food. He saw that. His disciples didn't know what they were going to do. He asked Andrew and Philip. Philip didn't know what to do. Andrew said, well, we have this little bit. But Jesus knew the situation. We can be in situations where we think we're in trouble, and we are to a certain extent, but Jesus knows the situation better than us. He knows what's going to happen that evening. He knows the next day. He knows the next week, so forth. Jesus shows his knowledge of our situations, of the crowds, his hearers' situations. And also see the power. The miracles of Jesus show us his power to help. There's nothing that can stop his help coming to us. He knows how he is going to address the situation, and he is going to do it. And in this case, yes, humanly speaking, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish is not going to feed all those people. But he knew he was going to do it, and by his power, he could. That teaches us something about how Jesus can take care of us. Part two, the Israelites. The Israelites, A, grumbled. B, doubted. And C, misused. Grumbled, doubted, and C, misused. They grumbled against Aaron and Moses. They were just brought out of slavery by the power of 10 plagues and also the parting of the Red Sea. And now they were on the other side, and it's desert. It's not cultivated land. It's not civilization like Egypt was. And they grumbled against Aaron and Moses. And that text that I read, the Old Testament reading, said Moses and Aaron said to him, "Why are you grumbling against us? We didn't do all this. It's the Lord who brought you out. Why are you behaving like this?" And they doubted. Well, why were they grumbling? Well, you go a little bit lower or deeper into their thinking. They said, "You've led us out here that we would all be killed. Wouldn't it be better if we were in Egypt?" They really doubted whether God had the grace or the power, whether God could take care of them, despite seeing these 10 miracles, these 10 plagues, despite seeing the Red Sea part. They get through on dry land, on the seabed of the Red Sea, and their enemies, the soldiers of Pharaoh, get drowned. Yet, they still think God doesn't have power. Yet, they still think God is not going to take care of them. They doubt. But grumbling really comes from the doubt, the unbelief. And then God says, "Okay, I'm going to feed these people. Look what I'm going to do." So he gives this manna in the Hebrew. Manna in Hebrew means "what is it?" Manna. They give this "what is it?" bread in the morning with the dew, and quail plenty to eat at night. And God gave them very specific directions how much they should take, how they should measure it, who should get what. Follow this. And on the evening of the Sabbath, take two, because no work on the Sabbath, so take twice as much. Well, they didn't follow it. Did they want extra to sell? Were they afraid their God wouldn't provide again? Who knows? But they did not follow God's guidelines for his gifts to them. And so there wasn't a great punishment here, but none of them were killed or something like that. But the food rot. Okay, you want to take too much? We'll see what happens when you take too much. We'll just let it rot. So even though they saw the power of God and the grace of God to give this miraculous food and all these quails at night, yet they still wouldn't listen to God to use it rightly, like he said. Do I have to make too many applications to those three things to us? We grumble, we doubt, we misuse. That's a real law part of this sermon. We do that with his gifts all the time. The things he gives us, we grumble about it. We doubt that he really cares about us or can take care of us. And then when we do get things from him, so often we misuse it. Point three. Actually, I was getting to point three already, I guess. We doubt, we mistrust, and that point B, A, doubt, 3A, doubt, B, mistrust, and C, follow Jesus. A, doubt, B, mistrust, C, follow Jesus. The law part, or these law statements, these law thoughts of part two, how we also reject and doubt, we grumble and doubt and misuse. What's really underneath this is that we doubt God's will. This is our temptation, that God is good for us, that he's really watching out for us. We doubt that he's strong enough or loves us enough. And friends, I say it, forgive me if I say it every other Sunday, but this is the sin from the beginning, from Genesis 3. Did God really say you should not eat of all the trees of the garden? Oh no, we can eat of the trees of the garden, but not of the tree in the middle of the garden. That one we can't eat or touch. And then what did Satan say? Oh, you will surely not die. But rather, God knows that if you eat of it, you will become wise like God, and you will know good and evil. God's keeping something back from you, Eve. There's something better for you if you would just eat, if you would just go against what he said. There's something better for you, because then you'll be like God. Then you'll know good and evil. Then you'll have everything you need. It's the doubt of God's love for her and Adam. It's the doubt of his word. This is the exact same sin that comes to us over and over again ourselves. What he says he will do and take care of us, we doubt. We doubt if he knows. We doubt if he's strong enough, powerful enough. B, mistrust. Those words that Jesus gave us, all his teachings are important, but those words that Jesus gave us in the Lord's Supper are really central. We mistrust him. We mistrust those words of the Lord's Supper. When he says, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Take and drink, this is the blood of the new covenant shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. When he says that this meal is the new covenant, he is making a promise, a vow. It is his will that we are in the new covenant with him and that our sins are forgiven. It is unbreakable on his part. That's what he accomplished on the cross. When he said it is finished, it is finished. The new covenant is set, is done. All the work to put the new covenant in place is done. So when we doubt and mistrust God, it's doubting that we're in the new covenant with him, that we're his sons and daughters, that we're his family, that he's not watching over us or can't watch over us. No, take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ covers us. The blood of the Son of God is the power that he calls us to know he's taking care of us. If you like the word cross hanging better, you can use it. That's fine. But in my thinking, I was thinking about the word, and I don't know if I'm coining the phrase or I've heard it somewhere else, but a cross stole. What Jesus did for the cross, on the cross for us, that is his pastoring work for us. That is his saving work for us. He is watching over our souls who are damned to hell because of our sins, but he didn't want that to happen to us, and so he died on the cross. That is the new covenant. And he gives it to us in his meal. It's so powerful. It's so pervasive in the whole Christian faith. And so the idea of a cross still reminds us that Jesus is our shepherd, that he is our pastor, that he is the overseer of our souls. And on your own sometime, I suggest you, there's a passage right way at the bottom. It's not written out. You have to look it up. It says 1 Peter 2:24-25. Look it up on your own. 1 Peter 2:24-25. Oh, Pastor, why don't you read it to me? Okay, I'll read it to you. Pastor has to find 1 Peter first. 1 Peter 2. I'm going to read that to you. Read it at home too. But listen to these two verses. Peter wrote, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And that word overseer there is a word from which we get pastor. So when he gives us and makes this promise to us in the Lord's Supper, I'm taking care of you. This is the new covenant. That is all the power and authority and a forgiveness given to us. And he calls us to believe him and to trust in him. As Luther says, we daily sin much. How do we, as Christians, and realizing, as we get to know God's word better and better and go through our lives as Christians, and we see our faults and failings, what do you do? C, 3C, follow Jesus. He knows the right thing. He knows what to say to us. He has given us his word. He has given us a church. He has given us fellow Christians to say Jesus' words to us. You are forgiven. Remember, he healed the sick. He fed the 5,000. He walked on the waters in a storm. He did all this. He will help you. Follow Jesus. Follow the one who has done all this. Follow the one who gives us the new covenant, who died for us. The power of his death, the power of his resurrection is for us. We are in it. He gives us it. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your son, Jesus, who was willing to die even the death on the cross for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. We ask you that when we are tempted to grumble or doubt or turn away from your word, that you would turn us again, that you would forgive us and turn us again. Help us to be disciples, to be followers of Jesus, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. And help us to help one another as well. All these things, dear Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.